No. Thank you very much, and thanks to honorable members and you know, when we were coming up here, we were a bit skeptical because this is the setting, so that we thought maybe it's nothing untoward is going to happen, because at least it's not Friday. Okay. Thanks very much. Yesterday we were supposed, as the chairperson was saying, to present Yama, which we couldn't because of the circumstances. So today the presentation will be outlining the proposed plan for the implementation of Yama as a national and provincial field of partnership. As the members, especially those that were in the committee last year, the members will remember that the Giama Bill was adopted by National Assembly on the 29th of March this year, and by NCOP on the, I think, the 9th of May. And now it is with the President for approval. And since then, as a department, we finalized the comprehensive guidelines for compilation of the user. As you remember that all the users and the custodians have to pay asset management claims. We finalized the guidelines, and they have been distributed to all the relevant parties for compilation. In actual fact, I can mention that at National, we have gone further to actually assist the users to develop their user base. We've developed a comprehensive, you remember, honorable members, there was an issue of bringing local government, and there was a decision that at this time, maybe it's not possible to do that. We've developed a comprehensive discussion document to extend Yama to the local level. And we've discussed that document with the DPLG. We've also formed a committee between ourselves and the team, between ourselves and DPLG, to assist them in bringing the Yama principles into their existing legislation. Then further, we've established, as the National and Provincial Department of Public Works, we've established a technical committee that is consisting of people that are actually working on relevant areas that are dealing with Yama, for instance, that are in property management, that deal with asset research and the like. We've established that committee, which will be meeting at least three times, once every 3 months. But I can mention also that since the establishment of the committee, they've been meeting actually more regularly, because within that committee, there are subcommittees, so they are meeting more regularly. But what we're saying is that at least three times, once in 3 months, they have to be at a meeting. And that committee is looking at the input on guidelines, which we are developing, guidelines and norms and standards and minimum requirements, to develop common approach to combination of and maintenance of the asset register. We know, and we will be talking to the asset register, that we've got a team that is looking at that, and to develop the implementation plan. You will understand that in terms of all the things that need to be done in terms of Yama, you'll find that the national and the provincial users and custodians, they are at different levels of readiness. But what the plans we are developing, they will culminate into one national implementation plan, which will have to be in line with some deadlines that are given by national president, for example. So you find everybody's working on their plan, but it is to a broader plan, which eventually, once it's compiled, it will submit to national president. And the team also has to advise the HODs and the ministers at MINMEC. The Yama is a standing item in these two meetings, so all the time we keep our ministers and our HODs informed. I won't go into detail on this, but just to say, we are consulting extensively. These are the provinces that we are in, and the portfolio committee in the Eastern Cape. There's one that is not there. We still the communications forum it's government or the Department of Public Affairs for communication forum. So we're talking to them as well so that they can assist us in getting the message across to all the relevant stakeholders. Because the consultation continues. We've already got the aid for the promises that you are not seeing there. We've commenced with the development of other guidelines such as the compilation and maintenance of asset register. We'll talk a little bit on this later on. As I was saying, there's a technical committee that is looking overall, but there are streams in between that are looking in detail in terms of each and every aspect of the implementation. I mentioned that this is a concerning item in these two meetings. We're constantly talking to National Treasury, especially, so that as we develop the implementation, we implement the AMA in Alpha Fed, you know, we are in line with PSMA and its regulations. This, honorable members, maybe I should not go through. I think from the AMA process, we understand what are the responsibilities of the users as well as the custodians. If you can go to the next one, we don't have to go in detail on this one. And the following slide, which is talking about development of a immovable asset management plan. We know that users, they develop their own, and the custodians, they consolidate all those plans into a custodian asset management plan. And for submission to the relevant treasury. I think I've mentioned that. This slide we revised a little bit from the one that we had in the previous discussions with yourself, and that is as a result of constant discussions with National Treasury to get to the exact timing in terms of what should be done at what level. You remember the first thing that needs to be done in AFALTEC almost immediately is the development of the UN, assisted by us. I mentioned earlier on that actually we are way ahead of this. We've started already, and I think Sikua will add to that. We've done all the national UN. All that we need to do from now up to April is really to sit down in detail with the users if there are any small changes, but we are ready. We piloted a couple of provinces. I don't know the exact number, but there are a number of provinces that we started with them. Of course, we still have to finalize the provinces. But the plan is April and November, we develop that. Sorry, November to April, we develop that. May, we submit, the users will submit to the relevant treasuries. By June, the custodians will assess the UN. That means to consolidate them into custodial asset management plan. September to October, the users, custodians, and the relevant treasuries will finalize the budget for consideration at NSEC. November, we the budget allocation as we understand it. But we'll talk a little bit as we talk about this. Let me just explain this upfront. What we're doing right now, we're helping the users in this round of the year. This date might be confusing when it gets to, because we're talking about this November. We're helping the users this year because this is the sector. But as we develop and implement in the following year, the users will be doing this on their own. So in this round of the year, we're helping them, but as years go, in terms that from the following year, they will begin, because we can't play a referee and a player, because they must submit to us, and we must argue whether we can give them or otherwise what they require, but it is necessary at this point in time. The implementation requirements, the Minister of Public Affairs has got to contact the relevant players, to determine the date of implementation of SIAMA. And for implementation to take effect, the Minister must publish the regulations and guidelines for immovable asset management plans, publish the norms and standards to support the plans, determine the applicable date, as we mentioned, by the users and the custodians, if necessary, exempt certain departments or assets, and again, that will depend on that makes around. The key role players, obviously, is the accountant general. If I can just make an example, for instance, if we talk about the asset register, the accepted standards, we end up discussing with the accountant general in terms of the level of detail in the asset register. We have to agree with them so that we don't get qualified by the auditor general. So there are those discussions in Aquatech on a whole range of things that will have to be aligned in terms of IAMA. We talk to the budget officers at national, and also I think we've left out, we talk constantly with auditor general. At provincial level, we talk with the provincial treasury and the custodians, both national and provincial, and these are all the national custodians. Department of Public Works, Land Affairs, Water Affairs, and the provincial department. Of course, we're talking for consistency. And other provincial custodians, there's an issue between the provinces, amongst the provinces, where the custodial responsibility of assets, of immovable assets, sits with the premier. Until the premier delegates that, like it has happened at national with the province, with the president, it sits at provincial level. So at provincial level, it sits with the premier. So you will find that in various provinces, more often than not, there will be no clarity. So until this issue is being raised even at a ministerial level to talk to the various premiers so that there can be a clarity. We also talk to users, obviously, at national and provincial level. In terms of the preparation, as I said, we really raised it for implementation of IAMA, but we are assisting the provinces. We develop a self-assessment questionnaire to assist them, for us to understand their state of the detailed questionnaire that asks them questions around everything that is around IAMA. And each province, after meeting with the technical committee, each province has been given a task to develop step-by-step implementation proposals. So when we get together next time, they will be giving back that feedback. And all the provinces, including ourselves, started the systematic update of our asset register, and I'm sure Matula is going to talk to that. To determine which properties each province is responsible for. Where, and this deals with the issue of vetting, where there is no clarity, because we know the history about vetting and we don't want to talk about that in detail yet. Where there's a lack of clarity at certain points, we're saying there is clarity in terms of a where the property is deemed to be vetted. So we'll use that as a guideline. It should not delay the implementation of the IAMA. To determine who occupies the facility and taking into account some of the facilities they are checked to get that detail. Given the various different status of readiness by users and custodians, the Minister of Public Works could consider your phased approach, and again, as we are getting information, we are getting to understand more, what level of readiness by all the role players. As custodians, obviously, and especially the trade department, we've done preparatory work to implement IAMA, and the national is that we are ready, as I said earlier on, we are ready at national to implement them. In a lot of things that we need to do. And this custodian, and in consultation with the user, where applicable, must submit the proposal for the implementation of the MSPA of operation to the DBA. So all the users, all the custodians will prepare their plans, and they will submit them to the DG of Public Works so that we can consolidate that. And again, we're coming from different levels, but we have a plan that says if certain things have got to happen by a certain time, everybody must meet that deadline. That means the others might have to bring in a lot of resources to catch up, but all of us will have to be ready in terms of the detailed program that is agreed to. And again, we're looking at the issues of the assets to a register, the institutional capacity, the constraints and we're developing a self-assessment questionnaire that will help everybody, especially the public, to understand their complaints. For instance, if you talk about the issues of capacity, that will also assist to understand that. And we are in conversation with our with other custodians preparing, as I mentioned, a single proposal that will be submitted to National Service. These are the guidelines. I won't go through them. We're preparing guidelines for almost every element of the academic staff. Planning guidelines, custodian guidelines, operational guidelines, and all these, much as I'm saying we are developing them, some of them have been done, some of them are in advanced stages, but we are working on all those. Norms and standards, we're also working on all those. All those would either we commence, or some of them are nearly finalized, or some of them have been finalized. Okay. I won't go in detail. Although we will just bring in that highlight, there's a detail below that, which each and every custodian and user must look at. But these are internal things that we look at. I won't go in detail. These are the things that came out that we need to look at, and we've got the subcommittees of the technical over and above all the other things that we're doing, but these came up in the meeting and we're working on them in terms of policies, in terms of guidelines. The issue of government officials that are occupying the state houses, both at national department, with establishing committees, national people from national and housing, they are working on that. We know the issue that there's no clarity in relation to that, and we're working on that. In the next couple of weeks, we should be getting a proposal in terms of policy and guidance. The issue of valuation of properties, the policy has been developed, and Kiwet is dealing with that. What needs to happen now is to agree with NASDAQ consultations between ourselves and National Treasury in terms of the methodology of valuation of property, but work has been done. The issue of leasing accommodation from private sector, we are also talking about that. We've got that whole committee working on that. And the issue of minimum requirements on the assets, I raised this a little bit earlier on, that we, given the state of the asset registers in all the custodians, ideally we want a comprehensive asset register. But given the state, we are talking about the basic requirements right now between National Treasury and ourselves. So the committee working on that. The issue of vesting of state owned property, we're working very close, although there's this committee that is dealing with this, but working very close with DNA. We've got some proposals that we are putting up for the minister. The issue of devolution of property rates and taxes, people are working on that. There's an issue that came up for South African school debt. We are dealing with that. The issue, I think the next appears to be giving custodial responsibility to the board, to the school board. And that is a confusion in relation to our understanding of custodial responsibility. As I mentioned, until it is devolved to a specific department, which we are suggesting that it should be public, so that you don't have a number of custodians. We're suggesting that all the custodial responsibilities at provincial level must be devolved to public works, but there is that issue, there's an act that is giving that responsibility to the board, and we are dealing with that, and obviously it will be taken up with the relevant department. And we're saying, I think this is a different, we're saying the provinces must, in fact, they have established their subcommittee so that at the provincial level they start working in terms of what they need to do as custodians, but also in terms of consultation with their users. Workshops, we hold workshops with all the same, various stakeholders almost all the time. These are the milestones that we agreed, and again, I won't go in detail, but these are the things, some of the things that we've done. For instance, that's circulating the draft UN guidelines for comment, we've done that. These are just the broad guidelines that we are giving to ourselves. And again, under those, there is a detail, and there are a lot of people that are working on that. Now, in these are the dates that were, and again, these dates are very broad. These are the dates that were suggesting to commence the preparation of the UN, of the asset management, all the asset management plans, as national as well as provincial. But as we are working, we are realizing that we might be able to bring those dates upfront, but we're saying we're giving this an option to the minister if at some point we realize that the provinces are not in line with us. The minister should be able to have that room. But as we're working for the date of implementation by everybody to be the beginning of 2008. And again, we'll assess the situation as we follow. Okay, that's concluded. Thank you.
And lastly, about the maintenance plan, we plan as a fashion. Because in some areas, we've learned about the fiscal damage. And the design department, when they see that it's towards the financial ending, it's just damage, then they say, these are our plans. And at the end of the thing, once that is not being done, they change public service. They change public service.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. One must acknowledge the great pride that has been taken by the department in terms of dealing with the challenge. Listening to the presentation, I think that the department has responded to some of the issues that have been on them quite a number of years. However, one needs to say that this is a working document. Working from as a portfolio committee is very likely that it can interrogate in terms of the implementation part of it. We leave that to the future engagement so that we're able to make an assessment in terms of the process. I think one area is the one that you have raised around the fact that this is still a deal in the question. As a committee, we've been so worried with what is happening, because we debated this bill in Parliament, and then it was processed through the HOP, now it's in the hands of the president, or it's in the presidency, and one doesn't know what is happening. In so much that you sort of also hear some other hearsays to say that the problem of translation and what is due, and we end up as a committee not knowing exactly what is delaying it. parents, we need to ask ourselves, because we are not convinced as a community, really. One of the challenges that is also very much important on this is this question of vaccines, maybe. As much as we have not done anything so far, but we are just understating that this is the process that will unfold in dealing with that challenge. But we'd like also, really, if there are any lessons that you can share with us, because we're very much interested in that too. Because the question of vaccine also hinges around the act which is in the hands of the Minister of Land Affairs. And therefore, to what extent are you really able to really ensure that you are able to deal with that as the act is not in the is not residing with our own ministry, with our ministry. And therefore that also poses a challenge in terms of the challenge of that thing. We know that the person is moving to where a province is really a challenge around the question of land battles in terms of the ownership. But also I think the main member and I have spoken about the last thing. I'm sorry, not exactly amnesty. The minister in her budget speech, she spoke about it. But in terms of this now presentation, you see nothing that relates to her budget in natural speech. And you end up not knowing, sir, as to whether this would be now at least a national coordinated kind of approach in terms of dealing with the challenge, or as you leave it with the provincial competency in terms of dealing with the challenge. Perhaps these are some of the areas that we would like to ask you to assist us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
Chairperson, mine is just small. We have used acronyms there that I'm not used to. What are your users? Custodians, UAM, MTEX, what are those?
This overall amnesty, Cecilia will deal with that until the commissioner. The Honorable Chair, you raised the issue of fiscal dumping. Actually, we are not seeking to deal with anything. Because if we are bringing in one, funds will flow to the right department, either a user or a customer. If we go to that, if we go to that flow, with the GIAMA, departments have got to do certain things by certain times. For instance, between November and because the issue of fiscal dumping came as a result of departments not taking decisions. And you will find that we go back and forth as public works trying to get them to take it so that we can implement. With that, when they do their strategy plan, they will actually incorporate their accommodation requirements. And therefore, at the right time, decisions will be taken and implementation will start. So I think that at least GIAMA sorts out a lot of things, and especially the issue of fiscal damage. If the department, they have budget or they want budget, there's no way now that they are going to separate their requirements for immovable assets. So that should deal with the issue of fiscal damage. And the right custodian will get the right budget. That has got to be sorted out even where there are no clarity. On the issue of vesting, as part of this program for implementation, we've done extensive consultations with the Department of Land Affairs. We've got our own plan, because there are certain things that we can do while we're waiting for like, you know, doing surveys and the our properties have, you know, and gathering all the information to be ready for DNA when they take a decision for them to be able to just issue the certificate. But even DNA, they've started to work on this. They've developed a comprehensive proposal to their minister. We're just waiting for that to their minister, which is looking at dealing with the blockages, because you find that you can submit an application because there are so many people that are working in the process. It could take 6 months or even more. Right now, they've made a proposal that is going to tie and shorten that process, and the people that are interacting on this, and also capacitating themselves and looking at getting the decision taken quickly. But obviously, it has to go through a process. They are working with their ministers. So I'm saying the issue of vetting is part of this. We are dealing with it, and I'm sure in the very next future, we'll find that there's movement. But also, we do, maybe at some point, we can brief the honorable members in detail. We also have done something, albeit very slow. There is work that has been done that continues to be done. It's not as if we have not started at all. We have done something, but I know that if we look at 30 years, we should have finished this thing. But I think in the next couple of years, we are going to see a lot of movement. It is also a plan that is part of it. The users, sorry, you know, sometimes we as government, we just have our own language. The users, it's a case of the department. Let me start with the custodians. The custodial responsibility is given by constitution to the president and in terms of national, and the president delegates to the Minister of Public Works, Minister of Land Affairs, Minister of Water Affairs, and then, yeah, I think it's. So those departments, they have the custodial responsibility to look after the whole lot of other government portfolio. They are users. The other departments, they want the accommodation as a platform for service delivery. They are only users. They don't own it on behalf of government. So they have different responsibilities for that. And again, I went through because the other one was? Let's start with the UM, and then in terms of the law or the bill says the user. Then what has been happening before in government is that when we do our strategy plan, we were talking about resources that we need to be able to implement our strategy plan. But what we have not been talking, we've been talking about human resources and financial resources, and we submit budgets to treasury. Right now, we're saying actually the immovable assets are a resource, and we budget for them. So they have to in the process of developing their strategy plans, they have to develop their plans, their asset management plans that say, this year, these are things that we're going to do, but we also need these immovable assets. So those are the user plans. Then the custodian plans are the consolidation of all those. That means as government, in terms of various departments, we have to. This is what we need. Those would be developed by the departments that are custodians. The MTEC is the medium-term expenditure committee, which is at National Treasury. It's a committee that in the process of submission of budget, you have to go and make presentations to justify why you need so much and how much you need.
Chair, just to take the question on the signing of the bill, the translation was submitted to Parliament in March this year, and as a matter of fact, the subsequent to that, the bill was submitted to the President of the Republic. We can put it on record, Madam Chair, that as a matter of fact, the bill has already been allocated an Act number. This is Act number 19 of 2007. the implication of that is that it is now, the Diyama is now an act, but not law. It becomes law once the President of the Republic signs it. You would appreciate, Madam Chair, that in her address to honorable members, the Minister of Public Works indicated that the implementation of Diyama will be from the 1st of April 2008. So to the extent that the President has not yet signed or assented to it, it is inconsequential as it relates to the implementation, because implementation starts on 1st April 2008. So we can put that on record as a fact with respect to Diyama. Thanks, Madam Chair.
The cabinet last year November approved a true critical document. One is called the National Infrastructure Management Strategy, which is linked. The other one is called IDI, which is Infrastructure Delivery Improvement Program. Infrastructure Delivery Improvement Program is about scheduling of projects that you like to do get the spike that you normally get that is in February and March when the financial year has come through. In this, both of these committees, the minister chairs the financial oversight of these committees. I personally chair the steering committee of these committees. They involve all infrastructure departments, DTLG, DWARF, DME, etc. And there are sub-committees of technical task teams that fall under this committee. One of those task teams is tasked with the issue of monitoring and evaluation so that there is accountability in terms of how much I will spend, you know, as well as the The issue of army. The minister made an amnesty call in her speech in March this year. What the department has done Madam Chair, I think I want to hand over to my
briefly, I think the Deputy Director Asset Management PO deals with the technical aspect of this, and I will, after my response, Madam Chairperson, also ask him to respond also at a technical level. But as a principle, you would appreciate that the Minister said in her speech that there should be this amnesty. Two key principles are important for consideration. The first principle is, when should amnesty begin and when should it end? You would not be able to answer that question unless you take into consideration the role of provinces in this regard. Honorable members will remember that the issue of public works is a concurrent responsibility per the constitution between national government and provincial government. And therefore, if you take a major decision such as amnesty, you would want to respect also the jurisdiction of provinces with regards to this matter. So the first point that Minister does, in particular in general the department, is then to involve all our provinces so that it is not only the National Department of Public Works that does that, but it must be generally the entire regime of the Department of Public Works, which includes our regions and provinces. The second important point, Chair, is what do you do? Let's assume you declare amnesty for 3 months or 6 months. What do you do subsequent to the closing date of amnesty to those people who do not disclose the property that belongs to the state that they are occupying? What do you do to them? What kind of punitive measures are you going to impose as a state? Do you have a jurisdiction to do that? Who should actually pursue those punitive measures? These are very critical decisions that as a state you need to make, so that once you then begin to impose these particular punitive measures, you are not vulnerable to any potential litigation by those who will be subjected to the consequences of this amnesty. So these are two fundamental principles that would like to submit for your consideration. But may I beg your indulgence, Madam Chair, to then ask EDG Asset Management to provide certain details. Thank you.
I think my response was more or less the same because it was responding to the question on national coordination approach. And I think the point on concurrent processing addresses that. However, I've got a slide in my presentation that also goes into that kind of thing. And finally, there was the issue of user M. Just to amplify what has been said by me. You see, as a custodian, when we talk of the custodian asset management plan, we should be able, as a custodian, to advise our clients on a number of issues, including location, so as to enable the customer to be done. Now, if I build home affairs at the corner of Lake Street, I should ensure that there is a police station in that place. So my custodian asset management plan should cover those synergies so that when you come for a social grant to a Department of Social Development, and then I ask for the ID, you say you don't have ID, then I'm able to direct you to next door, which is a Department of Home Affairs. That's what must be contained in the custodian asset management plan. As a user, you want to take an example of your personal house. You know you have two cars and therefore you need two cars. You know. But in other instances, users will require 20 parking days only to find that they have a total staff complement of about 8 people. Now there is no optimal utilization of the asset. Now section 38 to 42 of PMA, of PFMA and PMA, they place the responsibility on accounting officers, the prudent management of the immovable assets under their within their jurisdiction.
Thank you so much,
Mr. Chair.
The point we are trying to make is that it's unfortunate that the local government was not involved in the but a lot of people, the community, know the occupants of the assets. The fact we're trying to say is that if you can involve the community and other people at local level, they know better than us.
Can I maybe follow up on what you were saying before? You know, about two.
No,
I thought that we are pointing
to the
okay, sorry.
The fact we're trying to say that the people at local level, they know the people are occupying this state houses, even the officials that are occupying this. Once that is done, they will come out very clearly to say, I know of this. And we even suggested some form of, incentive to say, whoever comes for us will get this. I hear what the Commissioner is saying. Because after that, what happens, if those who do not come for us, what happens, and then we still have things. And lastly, on my side, it's about the assets outside of Africa. I'm still not convinced because I think the answer to that is serious. I raised the point about the assets outside South Africa. And then and we started there, and I was told that not home affairs, foreign affairs, taking care of those. But today, I'm not convinced. I mean, how far are you in combining the assets of the assets outside of the assets?
Yeah, thank you. You know, Chairperson, I just wanted to emphasize the point that you are raising about the need for amnesty. You know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I passed a small town from Kristian in Africa, in the state of in Africa, Takasak. Now, I happened to have Uda Nonga Pilana, and then I went into Uda. In my car, there was almost another friend of mine who had his son, who was in Africa, schooling in Takasak. Now, we took this young boy, he's around about 16 years old, to the paper estate. But this guy said to me, you know, this house belongs to the state. People who are staying here are renting out the accommodation to us. And we're paying for that. Now, there's a problem now amongst themselves, government officials. Because now someone else has said that it is now this guy is benefiting from this house because he's renting out. And then now their kids now are being turned out now. Now he's looking for accommodation elsewhere because there's this struggle among the government officials. And then I said, really, this is an information as a portfolio committee member that has been happy on it to say that the people out there are abusing state affairs. I'm just stating a small town. You think of bigger towns in this Northern Republic of South Africa, the magnitude of this matter, really. It's not something really that needs us to move through it. It's something that we need to have really a concerted approach in dealing with it quite aggressively. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumbi. I apologize for being late. I was asleep in there. Then I lost all the appeal.
Okay.
Alright. Kumbi, on the issue, I see that we're just with the issue of asset management. Yeah. I don't know what the department has done at this point, in particular in absorbing the historical disadvantaged groups and companies in asset management within the department itself. If they can give us some sort of reflection where they are, well, upon so that as we move towards the future, we know that even this skills of asset management is being transferred to the people, because we go all over the country from municipal level, fiscal wealth, we find that when coming to the issue of asset management, they just don't have a clue. That's why they end up selling the land which they need in 3 years time. So it shows that the skills are not there. So I don't know what the department is doing in particular itself inside the department in helping other state entities in acquiring these skills. And then number two is the issue, Comrade Chair, of them when we passed this bill, there was a proviso that there'll be critical teams with that of the local youth, the people from local land, local government. What that? Provincial and local government. So that they can help the municipalities. Comrade, I don't know how far they've gone with that one, because I appreciate that the implementation of the act is years on site, just around the corner, very clear. But is that process also taken on board to help Saraga municipality so that they really also acquire that? Because if this thing is not done, I think we'll be having our municipalities as co-parts by 2015. They'll be having no co-parts, nothing in their hands. Thank you, Comrade.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Person. In fact, I wanted to make a follow-up after Magui. Well, I mean, said it's okay. You see, it has been 2 or 3 when we were at Samapata. When I arrived there, local people told us that the deed office was sent down purposely by the people who are staying in government housing. So they did that with one purpose in their mind. To destroy their records. As it is now, those people that occupying those government houses without any trace of the records because they were sent down. And as she said, the information is there. The people, they know who are they and what are they, which houses are they occupying. In Nelspruit, in 201, where we had there, people were showing us houses, a lot of houses. They said, you see, all those houses, they belong to the government. And people are staying there. They pay rent to a certain white chap. Yeah, he's collecting rent every month. So, I think before we consider our outside properties in other countries, we must first sort out the mess inside the country.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get clarity on the concept of bringing the AMA principles into existing legislation. Clarity.
Thank you, Chairperson. The thing is, this presentation, we haven't got a copy for the menu. We haven't got a copy. No, this presentation, we haven't got a copy. Okay, I can I take the copy for this?
Oh.
And it's, I think it's, Diama just like the parliament says, the only implementation for this is only for from the next year, for the age. Because now not to come to the law, the president not signed. But I want to know from the parliament side, how you can make a campaign to the nine problems. Because I don't think so. It's a Diama who the each problem say or who the understand. Even though we got an issue for the local municipality. Too many assets is belong to the local level, but it's for state assets. So this Diama is we oversight to the other provinces. We saw miss some problem from the MEC side. I think I want to know from the parliament side how you can make a workshop for the before the next year for the April. You can make a workshop to the correct to the. Call all the night problems to come in for the workshop. And to take a more clear thing.
Maybe, sir, before they respond, the question is a traditional leader, there's a land if we have a traditional leader. To what extent sort of are you in completion making interventions in that area? No, I'm just trying to
Can I suggest that a couple of questions be taken because they are covered by national maybe in his presentation. Maybe rather than responding to them, he deals with them as he does with the situation. For instance, the issue of foreign assets and asset register, the issue of disabled people, the issue of involving local communities. I will deal with the issue of the GLG and the technical committee. In Afrotech, the technical committee has been established. We have developed a comprehensive document that deals with that. And that deals with what they need to do in terms of incorporating the AMA principles in their law. It is with them now, but the technical committee is dealing with that issue. I think the other question was, what do we mean when you say incorporating principles of the AMA? The issue, if you remember last year, was that the form of government and government structure and flow of budgets and ownership of properties at local level is very complex for us to incorporate, if you remember where we're coming from, for us to incorporate the same principles and processes of Diama at local government level. In terms of principles, they can be incorporated, but it was difficult. We made an example of the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act, that even at that level, it was the difficulty of bringing these systems together because they are too different. So what we're doing now, in terms of their existing legislation, we sit down, and that document deals with that. We sit down and look at their legislation and suggest certain amendments and additions to those, because they deal with the issue of asset management. But it is not in line with Siama as we understand it. So what we're doing now is to make sure that they change their existing legislation so that for all intents and purposes, without changing the ownership, without changing the system of governance, the principles of Siama are implemented. So that's what we have been doing with local governments. But I think as time goes, we will be bringing the minister on the development at that level. The issue of campaign from Italy, we have started that. As I mentioned, we're talking about Siama in every meeting of the provincial, it's 9 provinces and public works, all the agencies, they sit there, and we present Siama in every meeting. The second one is the MINMEC, where all the provinces are there, we present progress on Siama. The third one is the technical committee that is almost on a daily basis we're communicating with them in terms of every detail to understand where they are, how far they are, where they should be in terms of implementation, in terms of every level of Siama. Over and above that, we have committees with a number, we have workshops with a number of stakeholders. I've just mentioned the meeting with the communicators, public works communicators. Right now, we are doing communication with treasuries. Tomorrow we'll be presenting to national CFOs, and after that we'll be looking at provincial CFOs. We're also talking to HODs at provincial level. So we're talking to all the stakeholders. The campaign has actually started to make sure that everybody understands the impact of the Siama, because it's huge in terms of getting us to the region.
We have actually raised that question in our first technical committee member, and then asked our colleagues in the SLK to actually look into that, and then bring it to the next meeting to say how best can we deal with it. So it has been very good.
I think we all agree that some of the questions will be answered by Thank you.
Madam Chair, honorable members, colleagues, protocol, I think we want to start by saying that the National Department of Public Works has a fully fledged, functional, and electronic asset register. So the theme of this presentation is more about towards a comprehensive asset register, but there is an existing operational register in the Department of Public Works. Now, as you can see in the papers, that my presentation is going to cover 4 things, you know, whereby we can confidently say we have a universally acceptable asset register. The first issue is what we call the interoperability of information systems. I will explain it when I get to it. The second one is the issue of valuation. The third one is the issue of condition audit or service. And finally is the issue of the identification of lost inventory or assets that are unaccounted for, which has been, you know, the common question. Now, on the status quo, we can see that of the information that we have, we've had an 84% increase on the data that has been captured. The register allows us to allocate expenditure against individual property. But that slide tries to say this is the information that is available currently on the asset register. as we can see that the asset register will list your physical address, cadastral description of assets, extent, current use, and who's the user of those assets, photographs, as well as the elevation of those particular buildings. Now, starting with valuation, what is it that we need to do in order for us to accomplish the issue of having proper values for our property system? We say we need to extract data from property management information system. We need to decide on the methodology to be applied. And what do we mean by that? There are various, about 6 to 10 models we have here, evaluation methodologies that can be used. At a desktop level, you can use a replacement cost valuation. We can use market valuation that is driven by your rental income. So we have a document now which is to be submitted to the National Treasury. We need to agree with our Auditor General on the field, over and above what we have. What is it that is additional that is required by the Auditor General going forward? We need to gather those data and validate it, and finally appoint professional valuers. As we know that there is a scarcity of valuers in the country, and we are undercapacitated when it comes to the issue of valuation. What is it that is required there? I think the last three bullets there, they say it all, because the issue of the condition of improvement is not reflected in our asset register. The issue of municipal valuation or reconciliation has not been done before. Now, if I can just explain the condition of improvement, we have two systems. We have property management information system, which is basically your asset register. Then you have your web control system, which is basically a system that captures your project. Now, ordinarily, if we were improving this building, we will capture the building on WCS. It should be interfaced with PMIS in such a way that if you did an improvement of 20 million, that improvement must translate into your PMIS. And at this juncture, that does not happen because we do not have interface. Although the asset register is there, but it's not interfaced to the other system. Now, what is it that we'll be valuing? We'll be looking at functional accommodation, residential, functional, within police station, court, etc., residential, offices, and other specialized buildings. How do we then complement the issue of valuation? Secondly, we say we need to do condition audit. We do not know what is the stage or the condition of our asset is at this juncture. Now, for that to happen, we have developed a template which is to be used in gathering the data for the condition purposes. We also have the repair and maintenance program. We have employed our work managers that, as and when they engage on the repair and maintenance program, are able then to tick this particular template, which will then feed into what the condition state of the particular property they were repairing and maintaining is. And then finally, this can only happen if we are to get resources in the form of skilled personnel as well as financial. Now, the condition audit is split into four categories: the asset description, the asset condition, functional performance, as well as summary and recommendation. And all of this, they have 39, or a total of 39 attributes. They range from issues such as engineering, mechanical, type of engineering, mechanical, electrical, etc., your client value proposition, your value enhancement, etc. Now, the sub-component audit, which again we are required by legislation to deal with, is the issue of accessibility or of access to buildings by people with a disability. We have tried to categorize those people and even cater for the minors and children, you know, in our buildings. The third issue is the issue of what we call ARAD,
which is basically your asset register enhancement project. The asset register enhancement project is about collecting and receiving basic information. To give a historical perspective, I understand that between 96 or in 1994, the department did not have an electronic asset register. We had a manual one. Now, between 96 and 99, consultants were hired to capture the data into an electronic asset register. Now, those consultants, they made a number of mistakes. They also left with the institutional memory without transferring skills to us. I'll make you an example. A person or the consultant will capture a square meter in a field that captures hectares and vice versa. Now, that thing will then distort your state of core. Now, we then embarked on this process in 2005-2006 financial year, which is what we call the Asset Register Enhancement Project. Now, the issue there was to research, collect data, and store it correctly on your property management information. Now, as a consequence, we went to the Auditor General, of which we agreed on the following field, that as we do this particular exercise, all of those areas must be covered. Of particular importance is the issue of encumbrance, including wind, as you can see under EZ. And the scope of work, as I said, was about populating and measuring and correcting the discrepancies. Now, I can safely say that had it not been for a few regions or two of them, we should be 100% complete. But I think we are 99% complete now with the phase one of the project. Now, we've embarked on the phase two, which is the verification of the very same data that was captured to ensure the level of reasonableness and correctness of data that we have in progress to date, a number of changes have been captured in PMIF. The regional offices are working 24/7 to ensure that they use data. As I said, that number of 98.86% has changed now. This is not 100% as we speak. And this is the progress. You can see that in Gauteng, we completed the project. Northern Cape, we completed. In Kata, we completed. Almost complete six discrepancies. We're just struggling there with the Northwest and Western Cape. But basically, 99% of the data has been verified, has been captured. Sorry, it's now being verified. I've said what the phase two of RF and Cape. Now, in answering the question about the vandalization, the abuse of those assets, we say there can be a number of reasons why we have the situation we are in right now. It can be as a result of theft, loss, corruption, politics, and a combination of all of these factors. Now, what do we do, and how do we rectify the situation? We say the department is establishing, I think in two weeks' time, because it was awaiting MOU, we work with CETA, which is State Information Technology Agency, to establish a toll-free line to which members of the public will phone and volunteer this particular information. The second issue pertains to residential. We say we will have two web streams, 1977 to 94, and 94 to current. Why 1977? It's the only traceable document that we could find when the issue of essential services started, and that implies that that's when people started staying in those houses that are owned by government. We also wish to
to reconcile the records that the South African Receiver of Revenue has, because in so doing, you are then able to establish what was donated to the country, be it foreign or local, and it addresses the issue of foreign property. If the register we currently have is not comprehensive. By the way, the Department of Foreign Affairs has a list of its assets, or where they have assets in their website, it is cfa.gov.za. So there is a particular register. Whether it's comprehensive or not is another issue, but it's there in the internet. Again, we also want to look at the issue of reclassification by former intelligence services, that is your National Intelligence Services, which has now become SAS, military intelligence, etc. You know, to see what is it that was recorded elsewhere, not to the custodian, as a result of our previous past. We want to encourage public participation for full disclosure. Now, the question about we might want to have incentives. To be frank here, staying illegally in a government-owned house, you know, is a criminal offense. Now, if we say we are going to have amnesty in itself is an incentive. You know, so people should be encouraged by the fact that they won't be going to jail to come forward and say, yes, I am staying in government property, etc. So we believe that is a sufficient incentive on its own. We also want to embark on a campaign. We saw the Department of Social Development, they came up with what they call combating fraud, corruption in social security system, where they were advertising, saying all of those people that are abusing social grants must come forward. Now we want to have a similar process. It also happened with the South African Police Service. When you have an unlicensed firearm, you were given a particular period in which you could come forward and declare your illegal possession. Again, we talk of exoneration by the minister if it is doable within the ambit of the law. The following slide is more on the process way, but we just want to say the honorable members, the chairperson here, they have indicated it's encouraging to hear that they've seen a property that is being abused. So it will be of assistance to the department if these properties are recorded and therefore forwarded, so that we are able to start the investigation in earnest. And then finally, well, there's the issue that has not covered here about the distribution reach. One of the agencies we hope to use is South African Local Government Association. Why SALGA? It's because of their distribution reach within the community. We can reach those communities through either pamphlets, through either individuals, but there is a way of being able to go into the nearest community as far as possible. Finally, and the fourth bullet is the issue of what we call IEWEB project, which is basically your interoperability of information systems. We say WCS, as indicated before, and TMIS are not interfaced. That is one. Two, certain provinces, provincial, maybe two or so, they are not ready, or they have their asset registers on Excel instead of a proper asset register. Now, we've looked at all systems. We have TMIS, others have other systems, and the Western Cape government have what is called IEWEX. Having examined all of the systems, we concluded that the Western Cape system was the best. Now, we are putting the system on what we call a Java platform that will enable that particular interface between TMIS as well as WCS. But secondly, and most importantly, it will also enable the interoperability
whereby the province was able to get into the system and know exactly what the national government owns and the rights of it. So basically, that's what we mean by the IE project, which is based on international assets, on integrated rather asset management system. Finally, it's in compliance with the it's in compliance with the minimum reporting system. So in conclusion, I want to say that the department is currently working on the appointment of people that are going to conduct work condition audit, because it's a huge task and we do not have internal capacity to do that. We have made submissions to MTEC. There was a question about MTEC here to procure funding in order to carry out this particular exercise. Again, in line with the Minister's call for amnesty and the identification of missing assets, we say the department and provinces must issue communication so that the public is sensitized, you know, about what it is that is doing regarding assets and unaccounted for. We say the IE work system must be enhanced, including the capturing of the geographical information system. We think we are on track with the asset register enhancement project, whereby we hope to complete it by the 31st of March 2008. I want to put it on record, when I just had a third, the asset register, we have an electronic functional asset register in the department. The last point there is very, very critical. The asset register is not static, it's dynamic. I mean, as I speak to you right now, something has happened, and it's not the same as I left it yesterday. As the governor raises interest rates, the values change. So it will never be the same. So to say the asset register is incorrect sometimes is not necessarily the correct way of pushing it. We'd rather say we will continue, which is the theme of the presentation, towards a comprehensive asset register. Then the here is to demonstrate why interoperability is not part of the presentation, but it must be said that eventually, if we are to use market value, we are to move from cash accounting to accrual accounting. Now, if we are to move from cash accounting to accrual accounting, we need a system that integrates with other systems in government. We have used the example of BAS in National Treasury. But what is required by the country is a situation whereby at the press of the button, you are able to draw all assets and liabilities and their concomitant contingent liabilities. You know the full picture of South Africa Incorporated. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I will see over to the just one thing about the case, I wonder how far it goes, that is, because as you are saying, the community is no better than anything. In Gauteng, if you remember, there's a TDG state, there used to be they were ambassadors in a way. They were flat and some other assets in people in Gauteng. So that's a use by those the ambassadors. I wonder then, because all what I know personally, that one of my relatives used to say that they were given an account number where it is Asia, right? So I hope they get that checked by because those are some of the things that we need
thank you, Comte Chairperson. I think the presentation was good, but I was just afraid about the last comment. When you said that you must just press one button and then you get all the assets of South Africa incorporated.
I hope not anyone is going to press the button and get that information. I think it will be secured in one way or the other.
No, Comrade Chair, in the first round of questions, I have a question that set us for asset management, in particular, excuse me, in the department. I didn't see it coming clearly yet, but I said that the shortage of skills, the shortage of skills whereby we have to provide resources, whatever. Can you give us just a quick close up around that?
Yeah.
What capacity are we using? Because I think that the elder.
No.
It is out of record.
Alright, if you can be given the status quo of the skills on particular with relation to asset management, because I think this is the department whereby we must have the best development within the country, because the one who deals with the built environment. What is the status quo? If there is any means which are being done to address those skills in particular, through universities, technicals, whatever it might be. And then the other issue was the issue of the interface of the systems. I think we're going to deal with the audit report right now. I think that one, again, the good performance of the department has compromised because the information could not be shared. So, what is the target date that the systems are speaking to each other? Because if they don't do that, it means that next year again, we'll be remaining with a qualified audit report, which I think the department has done a good job in turning around to get up on. When are the systems going to be ready? And then when coming to this issue of amnesty, I don't like amnesty. I don't like it. You know, you speak, and I think the minister spoke. More than, I think there's over 6 months has elapsed. You know, how many people did come forward? Why not request the service to special units, like the special investigative unit, that one of mayor. Even the Department of Social Services has done that, and then they've made one that. I think they saved the country about $1 billion just in that. So why not consider that way? Because as we have an incentive, we must also have a stick around. Those people don't comply with my stick very hard. Thank you, Chair.
Actually, around this program, I was just a comment. Now that we have got this national youth service, I think maybe they will be part of that. The youth service of maintenance, they will be aimed also on that so that we have a tool to do the job for us.
On the question of capacity in the department, I just want to check what extent are they able to capacitate the additional offices to deal with some of the challenges. So you find that when we're doing oversight, you find that to some extent the regional offices are incapacitated to deal with some of the line function of the department.
Yes.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The target date for inter-operationalization of the system is 30 October 2007.
Huh? It's next year.
The issue of RAM and youth, we 2 years ago, we started with what we call the prioritization of Cape Talent Maintenance Program. Now, the criteria that we developed in prioritizing those projects, to make an example, was compliance with the OSHA regulation that takes into consideration safety issues. the stage of readiness of the project, which goes back to what I said earlier on about ID. Now, as from this year, we have put further questions. We say you must put a project on the table and ask the question, why is this project not ETWC? Why is it not NYS? That's what we have done now. So that is how you're then able to cater for the issues of the skills. The branch has three chief directories, which is your key account management, property performance monitoring, as well as portfolio analysis. Each of these chief directorates we have employed internship plus or minus 15. I think CTM is 16, CAM is 13, CTM is another 15. So that we are able to institute this particular skill. Secondly, the issue of provinces. That is why when we say we are dealing with the asset management plan, when we're saying we are engaged in an interoperability exercise, when we say we are doing custodian, we involve provinces. We even give them templates, you know, that can be used in the compilation of the required documents in compliance with the Act. There is a skill on skill. The minister has in the past made pronouncements about, in conjunction with SIDIP, which is South African Institute of Black Property Professionals, on the issue of property academy. Again, that particular initiative will complement the shortage of skills. Now, on the structure as regional offices, asset management, by its very nature and definition, is supposed to be concentrated because it's about analytical look at what needs to happen, the options, etc., etc., and therefore advise accordingly. So that information must filter down to the region whereby we are operationalizing those particular activities. However, realizing the shortcomings of not having representation, the department embarked on advertising positions, some of which have already been filled by key account management people, whereby we have representation in those particular regions in order to deal with the shortage or lack thereof of skills. Finally, when we say we've got these committees that have task teams, one of the task teams that is called a non-financial skills task team. The non-financial skills task team zooms exactly on the issues that are not financial, but on the issues that are human, like capacity and skills, whereby we impart those particular skills to provinces to via your other initiatives, such as province project.
Adam, can you go to the last mark on the HR? Adam, disconnect from the
Adam.